Hey, I'm Sheena, former miserable corporate attorney turned full-time calligrapher and creative entrepreneur. I used to feel like I was living my life for other people, and now I am more true to myself than ever. And each week, I'm sharing a short but powerful lesson that I've learned on that journey. So if you're looking for a way to get more creativity and possibility into your life, you're so in the right place. Let's dive right in. Hello, creative friends. Welcome back to the Sheena Show. As this is coming out, I should be, if everything goes right, at Burning Man for the first time in my life. Woo! This is like me looking out at the future. I'm recording this before I leave, obviously, but yeah, as this comes out, I will have turned 42 years old on the playa. And we'll be enjoying my very first Burning Man. I'm sure it will be such an experience. I can't wait to tell you guys a little bit more about it after I get back. But for now, since I haven't gone yet, I am going to get right into this second part of my Business 101 series. This is a three-part series, so if you missed part one, I recommend it's probably best if you just stop this episode right now and go back and listen to the episode right before it. So I think that's episode 63 is the one right before this episode, because, you know, that's kind of where I lay out the foundations of all this. But to give you just kind of, you know, a recap of what I'm doing here, this is the overview of business that I wish I had when I first started my small business, Crooked Calligraphy, in 2016. It's like, okay, the different stages that business goes through, the different buckets that you have to focus on as an entrepreneur, what it feels like, what it might look like, what to expect. So if that's something that sounds really interesting to you, definitely keep listening, because we are getting into, you know, stage two, phase two of business, whatever you want to call it. The first, you know, phase that I covered in the previous episode was really the early stage, exploring, figuring it out, really not knowing, but, you know, starting to really try things out and experiment. This stage, the middle stage, I like to call the refining stage, where you really have tried some things in the early stages. You've learned, you've, you know, gotten some experience under your belt. And in this middle stage, you're really kind of drilling down into what exactly, what your business offers and stands for and serves as a whole, as kind of a unified whole that makes sense throughout your product offerings and your messaging and how you serve your clients, all of it. So as with the previous episode, I'm going to break this down into three overall parts this episode. And the first part is really like tactical. We're going to look at the three buckets, kind of general buckets that every business kind of has to tend to and what that might look like, you know, in this phase two of, you know, the businesses that are really refining. We're going to look at part two, what it kind of looks like and feels like on a more, you know, emotional and kind of personal level. So, you know, what your creativity, what your time, what the obstacles might seem like. And then in part three, we're going to get really specific and look at, you know, a practical example, like a calligraphy business, what this all might look like really in practice. All right, ready? Okay. Tactical. Let's start there. So, like I said in the last episode, one of the most useful things that I learned about kind of thinking about my time and attention as an entrepreneur is thinking about these three different buckets that you kind of have to tend to in mostly any business. And it really helped me. This kind of helped shift me from, oh, I just have a random ass list of tasks that I have to get through and I don't know what to prioritize. It shifted me from that into, oh, okay, there's actual like buckets here and they each have a goal and a purpose and they each have needs. So the three buckets are one, products and fulfillment, 2, operations and systems, like your back end, and 3, marketing and selling. Okay. And, you know, just caveat here, some businesses have more buckets than this. You know, like if you get more complicated, you get bigger, you might start to split off, you know, marketing is different from selling, or product development is different from, you know, fulfilling on the customers that you already have. But just kind of in general, for the businesses that I'm talking about, this is a really good way to think about it. So I think there might be a good number of y'all listening out there who might be in this stage. You wouldn't consider yourself a beginning business necessarily. You're not, you know, just figuring out, what am I going to offer? Who's my audience? You know, how do I do anything? You've gotten, you know, a little bit more knowledge. And you've really, really started to figure out what you like, what you don't like. You're starting to narrow it down. You're starting to trust yourself more as a business person. You're starting to trust your customers more, right? You're starting to believe that you can do this and you can really kind of build this up. So when it comes to products and fulfillment, I think, you know, a lot of what these middle stage businesses are doing are really diving into that part of it, analyzing what you like best and what pays you best for your time, right? Kind of doing that Venn diagram of what you like and what is really profitable, and really starting to put your products and your offerings together into more of a cohesive product suite. Product suite is just kind of a fancy way of saying, it's like a suite of rooms, I suppose, that all kind of fit together, right? And make sense. So it's products that all kind of fit under a larger umbrella. So for example, you know, this usually happens when you start to get known for something a little more specific. You know, instead of just calligraphy, maybe you get known for teaching calligraphy. And then your product suite might look something like, you know, a very low cost workbook, and then a, you know, a 2-hour just one-off workshop, and then a 8-week whole, you know, full-on program. That's a kind of a product suite that makes sense together, right? Because it all kind of falls under the umbrella of calligraphy teaching. I'm not saying necessarily at this stage of business that you have that all figured out and perfectly clear. No. I remember, you know, being in this stage in my business, and, you know, I was still doing a lot of other things aside from teaching, which is, you know, had kind of become my main thing. I was still working with clients and still doing some design work, and that's all perfectly fine. And none of this is to say that there's one perfect, correct way to do all of this. It's more of a guideline, right? Of like, okay, maybe I fit in here. This is what I should be focusing on. And really, you know, when it comes to products and fulfillment, as you grow your business and you start to maybe have more customers and bring in more money, and you want to start getting a bit more streamlined, right? And focusing on the things that really work well. And that means cutting products and offerings and things that maybe no longer fit or aren't worth it anymore, or maybe that you've grown out of or grown away from. And that's, I just want to assure you, perfectly normal, perfectly fine. It's absolutely normal for businesses to, you know, revisit their product offerings and see if they want to do them anymore. And it's very, very normal to retire products and offerings. I've done it. So many other businesses do it. So that's kind of all in the products fulfillment bucket. Let's get to bucket number 2. So operations and systems. This is kind of the back end of your business, legal, financial, systems, templates, things like that. Here, you know, if you're in this middle stage of business, you know, you've definitely gotten fully kind of legal, right? Registered, permitted, whatever that entails where you are, right? Or in the US or in another country, all the requirements are slightly different, but you know, you're there, right? You've gotten all that stuff kind of done. You have your financial systems in place, and you know, you can be doing it yourself, your bookkeeping and kind of keeping track of your revenue and expenses and profit margins, or you could have maybe somebody else, you know, an outside bookkeeper doing it. Either way, you've gotten that sort of figured out as well. Maybe you're even starting to pay yourself more consistently because, you know, you've kind of done this long enough to know, okay, I'm pretty sure month after month, I'm going to get, you know, I tend to get this amount of money in, I tend to get this amount of clients, you know, this tends to happen in this season, maybe over the holidays, and you can start to kind of predict your revenue and your profits a little bit more consistently enough to kind of pay yourself, right? That's always an amazing feeling when you get to that stage in your business. And, you know, also because this is all about kind of templates and systems and backends, definitely it makes sense to start to streamline your, you know, processes in your business. You know, create templates for your maybe weekly email newsletters or some of your Instagram posts. Batch create content for social media or blogs or whatever. Automating maybe a lot of tasks, like starting to invest in software like a CRM system like HoneyBook or Dubsado that kind of guides your clients through the entire process so you don't have to do that all manually. So it's, you know, it can kind of be like, it's a great time in this middle stage to focus a bit on the operations and systems and make sure you carve out some time every week, right? Or every month to kind of look at that stuff and streamline and make sure you're not wasting a bunch of your precious time doing manual tasks over and over again that could be automated, right? And it's also a good way getting kind of your systems in place. It's a great way to make your analysis much more powerful, right? What do I want to focus on? What do I not? And then third bucket, marketing and selling. So here's where in these middle stages of business, like you've probably started to gain some momentum. Again, this goes back to, you know, starting to get known for a particular thing and people kind of talking about that and recognizing you for that. So you've probably, you know, if you're going the, you know, building a big audience on social media route, maybe you have, you know, a few thousand followers on social media or your YouTube, or you've got people consistently reading your blog. If you're going more the, you know, kind of networking, word of mouth kind of route, you probably have built up a little bit of a reputation, maybe locally in your area and people are passing along your name, right? You're starting to understand here in the marketing and selling bucket that every business needs a steady pipeline of potential customers. So you are starting to think about, okay, where are these potential customers coming from? Where could they come from more? What are some new channels that I could get more of them, right? So you're starting to take more of a strategic analysis and approach, you know, there. And I want to just point out here that this is where I really encourage a lot of my students and my, you know, business coaching clients, like email list. Email list becomes more and more important. And whether you're building up a huge audience and you want to sell more things at a lower cost, right? Or whether you're going the opposite way and you want to sell fewer things, but at a higher cost. So you kind of just are relying on word of mouth. Either way you do it, you want to keep building a list of people who are interested in what you have to say and who might be potential customers and who have been past customers, who, by the way, your past customers are your best future customers, right? That's a topic for a whole other podcast episode. I'll write that down. But, you know, your email list is a way that you can contact these people and stay in touch without having to rely on the algorithm overlords, I heard someone call it, and I thought that was clever, right? But you don't have to, it just is so much more under your control. One thing that can become, you know, kind of a problem, and we'll go into this a little bit more in the next section of this episode, but it can become overwhelming, right? Marketing and selling especially can start to become like, oh, okay, there's so many potential things I could do. There's so many ways I could go. So it helps here at this stage to think about what your minimum commitment might be when it comes to marketing and selling, Just like, what's the bare minimum you're going to do in your business every week or every month? And as long as you stick to that, you're like, okay, good. I've done my minimum. I can stop beating myself up. I can stop thinking I have to do everything. So it, for example, it can be, you know, every week I'm going to send an email and post 3 times on Instagram. That could be your minimum. Or every week I'm going to reach out to 5 different people, whether that's past clients or maybe potential future clients. That could be a minimum. Whatever it is you decide on, that can be kind of a helpful way to really get you focused. And you might also, just as a final point here on marketing and selling, you might also start to think at this stage about how you can scale. And scaling doesn't mean just make more money, but it means that you are making more money without, one-to-one trading your time for it, right? So you might kind of start thinking about what products can I put out there? What offerings, what can I do to kind of, start to scale my revenue? Okay. So that was the kind of part one, the tactical, right, side. Let's get into what this stage in business might really feel like, from the inside. So creativity. Here at this stage, that you definitely, this happened to me, and I know so many creatives that this also has happened to, but it unfortunately, you just kind of focus less and less on your craft at this stage because there's so much to do elsewhere in your business. You've kind of, you've gotten a lot of you've gotten good at your craft. You've gotten your products out there. You kind of are better at creating them, and you're just focusing more on, these other buckets in your business and figuring all that stuff out. So this does tend to happen. It can be a little bit of a bummer. But so you kind of want to make sure that you have something, you have like some kind of playground somewhere where you can still exercise the, fun and playful and unbridled creativity that you experienced very early on in your business. And that might be, a half a day a week where you get to design whatever. Or it might be some hobby, other creative hobby that you find on the side, somewhere where you can kind of have that playground, because here's something to watch out for in this stage of business. You don't want to let the toddler inside you that likes, new and shiny and, things and gets bored. Like, you don't want that toddler to trample all over your business. Because that toddler exists. Oh, I remember it like so clearly. And I'll speak a little bit more to that as we go on. Time. When it comes to time, probably at this point, you may have shifted into, doing your business full time. Or maybe it's just like a very committed side business. I can think of many people who are in this situation who they have a very full day job, but the business is, they're really devoting a lot, like every day, time to it. It's not just kind of a hobby. It's not just exploring anymore. It's like, wow, I can make this into a real thing. Okay. Here's where I get back to what I feel like one of the biggest hurdles is at this stage of business. And I remember this so clearly. It's that shiny object syndrome is so real. Like the kind of the overwhelm, the possibilities, like it can be very tempting to just continue to try everything like you were doing in the exploratory, phase of your business. And unfortunately, one of the hardest things to do as a creative, artistic, craftsy entrepreneur is to really kind of buckle down and get really good at one key thing and talk about that one key thing over and over and really kind of go all in on, the main thing that you want to be known for. I was trying to find like the best way to say this, but it's kind of time to put on your big girl pants and like transition into like, okay, this is a real business that I want to grow. And I have like a million caveats that I could put on that, right? Of course, this isn't for everyone. You still want to keep some playfulness, but if your goal is to really grow yourself in this business and, you know, evolve your business in terms of revenue and, the kind of people and projects that you want to do, and the kinds of ways that you want to stretch yourself, and, you know, the kind of new identities that you want to embrace. If your goal is to grow your business in all of those different kinds of ways, then there does come a point at which you have to kind of shift from, ooh, I'm just kind of playing around here, into, okay, what is the work that I need to put in? And the work doesn't always mean literal, you know, sitting in front of a computer or, you know, creation kind of work. It means emotional and mental work as well. It's the really looking at, okay, what are the areas in my business where I'm most uncomfortable? If I know my people, that's you. It's probably marketing and selling. It's probably pitching yourself. It's probably learning how to just be really bold in your selling and make claims that scare you a little bit and really put yourself out there and face rejection and, you know, be brave in the face of maybe a growing number of people watching you and a growing amount of money coming into your account. That all, you know, all that kind of growth, it all comes with discomfort, right? It sounds really sexy and awesome, and it is. And it's really activating to the nervous system, right? To kind of continue to be successful. I put successful in quotes because everybody has a different definition. But I just remember there came a point in my business where I just kind of had to decide, okay, I want this to make a very comfortable, wonderful full-time income for me. What do I need to do to make that happen? Oh, I need to create an online course. I don't want to create an online course. It sounds like such a long and difficult and scary project, and maybe no one will buy it. And oh, I'd rather do all these other little, you know, shiny object, less stakes projects instead. But I said, okay, if this is the goal that I want to go for, this is what I'm going to have to do, or this is the path I want to take to get there. And so I did it. And there's lots of moments like that, where, you know, I had to, for example, like really shift focus onto just my courses if my goal was to get into multiple six figures. Now, this is not everyone's goal. It's not. You all have your own goals that you're going for, but this is just my example. If I wanted to go for that, I had to really learn how to focus in on one thing and sell the shit out of it. Learn how to sell it so well and believe in myself so hard and work on my product so that it was so good and ask people for feedback, even though that's kind of unnerving, and do all of it, right? In order to get to where I wanted to go. So anyway, kind of went off on a little bit of a rant there, but the key here is that the biggest hurdle I see for people, you know, kind of in this middle stage refinement part of their business is deciding what to focus on and really deciding to go for it instead of just trying to do everything. Because scrambling around and doing everything and trying everything, that often, you know, your revenue doesn't go up when you're kind of splitting your attention in that way. So let's get into our final, you know, section of this episode. And that's just kind of looking at a practical example of a calligraphy business. So what this might look like, right? What you want to focus on, what you want to not focus on when you're in this stage, and we're taking the example of a calligraphy business. So when it comes to selling, what is your main revenue maker? And you got to do that analysis, right? And you got to have the records, and you got to be keeping track of your finances and all of that enough to make that analysis. What is the most profitable thing in your business? Now, how can you get even better at adding value and communicating that value when it comes to that you know, main revenue maker in your business? How can you really continue to refine your brand, refine your message, get really clear on what it is that you specialize in so that people, you know, as soon as they come across your brand, they go, oh, this is what I've been looking for. And they become customers so much easier. Okay. How do you continue to build your authority, your place in the industry, your, you know, the ability for people to trust you? How can you continue to build that with more kind of long-lasting assets? Because you'll see that this really comes into play when you get to stage three. Long-lasting assets, that just means, you know, blog posts, YouTube videos, email list, things that kind of stay on the internet and kind of build, right? People are constantly finding your website through SEO, for example, and your email list is kind of growing and you're continuing to email people and, you know, get them really knowing you and trusting you and seeing what you're all about. Okay. When it comes to your craft, and this, you know, just in a calligraphy business, here's where in the middle stages, it's especially kind of early on in the middle stage, it really helps to kind of continue to develop your craft. And when it comes to a calligraphy business, really develop your unique style and be good enough with your craft of calligraphy to respond to different client demands. So this is a little bit nuanced here, right? Because I keep saying that you want your brand to stand for something. You want to start getting known for something in particular. You know, and that can be something like modern calligraphy, right? Kind of a fresh, modern, you know, fun, more lighthearted style. Great. But within that, if you have the ability to really kind of shift your style and serve clients with different looks, you know, all under a very professional banner, then that is just going to help you to continue to get better and better clients. Like, corporate clients, you know, big brands, big nationwide businesses that have a certain look and feel that they need you to match. So it's cool, right? I mean, even in the middle stages of business, like you're continuing to work on your calligraphy, and that can often be, you know, one of the most fun parts of it. Okay, pricing. You want to evaluate your prices often. And this all goes hand in hand with kind of knowing your numbers, knowing what's the most profitable. You want to evaluate your prices and you want to raise them even if it feels uncomfortable. And you want to continue to do your market research and, you know, be competitive and don't be completely out of left field, right, when it comes to your area. But you're kind of working towards, again, that scalability, right? Where you're bringing in more money with less of your time, and pricing is certainly a part of that. And pricing also comes with kind of building your place, your authority, your expertise, right? Your standing in the industry. As you're doing that, you can, you know, raise your prices because you've sort of earned that, right? You have the experience, and you can serve clients in a higher way. Okay. Here's what to not focus on. And, you know, again, just using the practical example of a calligraphy business, you want to, again, not focus on what everyone else is doing. You don't want to focus on kind of what are like a dozen, you know, brand new ways that I can get in front of people. Let's be on, you know, the latest social media platform, like Threads, let's do Pinterest, let's do like all so many other things. You don't want to be putting out constantly brand new products, brand new offerings, making things from scratch over and over and over again. And this all kind of feeds into, you want the refinement, right? Instead of constantly creating new, this is a great time and you will kind of learn the most and make the best use of your time and get the best results by really digging in and analyzing, okay, instead of making new products and offers, what can I cut so that I can focus on the products and offers that are doing the best for me? that I enjoy and are bringing in the most profitable revenue. Okay. Instead of trying to reach new people all the time and opening up, you know, new social media accounts everywhere, how can I talk more effectively to the people I already have? How can I increase my conversion rates? You start thinking about things like conversion rates, right? A conversion rate is just how, what percentage of your audience actually turns into customers. So what percentage of your Instagram followers actually buy from you? What percentage of your email list actually buys from you? How can you increase that percentage? Because it's so much easier to talk to the people you already have than to continuously go out finding new people. It's so much easier to learn how to improve the products that you already have and sell them better than to spend so much time and energy continuously making new products, right? For example, in my calligraphy business, this is really where I started to not do weddings anymore. I started to not do as much client work because I wanted to focus on teaching and on my courses. I made the mistake of kind of going out and trying to do too many channels, Pinterest and Google Ads and things like that. And that didn't really work out. But what really worked was me focusing on, okay, Instagram. Instagram is going to be my main channel. I feel the best there. I love it. I enjoy it. It sparks my creativity. I enjoy talking to people. Great. How can I make Instagram even more effective? What can I put into place? When it came to style, I really kind of was continuing to take classes, different, copper plate and flourishing classes, and really kind of working on my own craft and responding to my clients' needs and pushing myself, right, to do different kinds of calligraphy than was entirely in my comfort zone. So it's a really fun business stage to be in, because you start to really live up to the potential that maybe you saw. You see things really starting to work. You discover, oh my gosh, I'm starting to get really good at this just one aspect, this one specialization. That's cool. People are starting to recognize me as an authority. That's awesome. And you want to just, but you also want to focus on the parts that feel a little bit harder. And, as people, if you're listening to this, you're probably incredibly creative. You're artistic. You like to play around. You like to design new things all the time. And the harder parts are, okay, let's look at my numbers. Let's look at my stats. Let's really look at, my strategy and how I'm talking to my people. Let's really dig into, okay, what kind of message am I sending to people? What's the true message? Am I just talking about calligraphy, or am I really finding myself connecting with people on possibility? The possibility of creativity and entrepreneurship, for example, right? In my case. And it's kind of like really a time to it's uncomfortable for sure. Spoiler alert, entrepreneurship is always kind of uncomfortable. There's, certain moments that you get to a place where you're like, oh, okay, I think I have this kind of figured out. And then something changes and you got to pivot. And it's the more you can accept that that's the way it is, the more peaceful it can be for you. But this is really kind of a stage to continue leaning into, okay, how can I really step into some CEO shoes? Even if that word is kind of scary to you. What can I really learn here? Like, what kind of new identity can I build for myself? So it can be a really fun stage. If you're in it right now and you're like, okay, Sheena, this is resonating with me. This is awesome. You've kind of given me something to think about here, some strategies, some things to focus on. Great. Keep going. You're doing awesome. I'm rooting for you. if you're like, oh, okay, this was a little bit over my head. I can't imagine ever getting here because maybe you're in stage one, right? The exploratory phase. I promise you it's so possible to get here. It is. And I want you to start to fill in, maybe with some sketch lines, that possible roadmap of what might lay ahead for you. It's so cool to do that because then you can kind of walk forward with more confidence, knowing that you're headed for something, right? And if you're past this stage and you're listening to me like, wow, thanks. And I will get to you in the next episode because we're going to talk about phase three in the next episode. And that's kind of the mastery stage and what that might look like. And yeah, so that's what I got for you today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope that this was helpful for you. Please let me know if it was. Of course, you know, when this is coming out, I'm at Burning Man, my first one in 2023. So, you know, won't be answering you until I get back, but I'd still love to hear from you. And I hope you have an awesome week and I will see you next time. Oh, you're still here. That's awesome. That means that you like the show, right? Thank you for listening to the end. And I want to ask you a really quick favor. Could you take 2 seconds right now, literally right now, to just leave a rating on this podcast? And if you're feeling extra generous, write a 1-sentence review. It really helps more people like you to find this show. You are awesome. I'll see you next time.